Well, today is a very auspicious day in the month of Kartik, Sri Rama Ekadasi. The same day in 1974, Sri Rama Ekadasi, we went up to Srila Prabhupada's apartment in Jugu to accompany him on his morning walk, as usual. And the door was locked, and Srila Prabhupada's secretary answered the door. And he was very excited, and he said that last night Srila Prabhupada had completed Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he had written the most wonderful glorification of his Guru Maharaj. And Srila Prabhupada's secretary also mentioned that Srila Prabhupada had said that we should have a feast to celebrate. So I will read from Srila Prabhupada's concluding words to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. I don't know if we'll be able to finish today, but if not, we can try to finish next time. Concluding words. Today, Sunday, November 10th, 1974, corresponding to the 10th of Kartik, Chaitanya era, 488, the 11th day of the dark fortnight, the Rama Ekadasi. We have now finished the English translation of Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in accordance with the authorized order of His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Maharaj, my beloved eternal spiritual master, guide, and friend. Although, according to material vision, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, passed away from this material world on the last day of December, 1936, I still consider His Divine Grace to be always present with me by His Vani, His words. There are two ways of association, by Vani and by Vaku. Vani means words, and Vaku means physical presence. Physical presence is sometimes appreciable and sometimes not. But Vani continues to exist eternally. Therefore, we must take advantage of the Vani, not the physical presence. The Bhagavad Gita, for example, is the Vani of Lord Krishna. Although Krishna was personally present 5,000 years ago and is no longer physically present from the materialistic point of view, the Bhagavad Gita continues. Srila Prabhupada has often remarked that the secret of success in spiritual life is to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. And here, in the concluding words to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada will describe the history of his relationship with the instructions of his spiritual master. And he begins by explaining that the instructions of the spiritual master are more important than the physical presence. Because as we know, the physical presence is sometimes appreciable and sometimes not, as Srila Prabhupada says. But the vani, or the words, or the instructions, continue to exist always. And therefore, the relationship with the spiritual master continues to exist eternally through service to the instructions. Here, Srila Prabhupada was writing of his spiritual master in 1974, and his spiritual master passed away from mortal vision in 1936. So, almost 40 years had passed, but still the connection or the relationship between Srila Prabhupada and his spiritual master was very much alive through service to the instruction. In this connection, we may call to memory the time when I was fortunate enough to meet His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada sometime in the year 1922. Srila Prabhupada had come to Calcutta from Sri Dhammayapur to start the missionary activities of the Gaudiya Math. He was sitting in a house at Ultadanga when, through the inducement of an intimate friend, the late Sriman Narendranath Malik, I had the opportunity to meet His Divine Grace for the first time. I do not remember the actual date of the meeting, but at that time I was one of the managers of Dr. Bose's laboratory in Calcutta. I was a newly married young man, addicted to Gandhi's movement, and dressed in khadi. Fortunately, even at our first meeting, His Divine Grace advised me to preach the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in English in the Western countries. Because at that time I was a complete nationalist, a follower of Mahatma Gandhi, I submitted to His Divine Grace that unless our country were freed from foreign subjugation, no one would hear the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seriously. Of course, we had some argument on this subject, but at last I was defeated and convinced that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message is the only panacea for suffering humanity. I was also convinced that the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was then in the hands of a very expert devotee, and that surely the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would spread all over the world. I could not, however, immediately take up his instructions to preach, but I took his words very seriously, and was always thinking of how to execute his order, although I was quite unfit to do so. So Srila Prabhupada continues the discussion of the history of his relationship with the instructions of his spiritual master. And he traces the instructions to his first meeting with his spiritual master in 1922. Srila Prabhupada was the leader among his friends at the time, and they wanted him to meet Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Prabhupada explained that his friends wanted his approval or certification of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur because Srila Prabhupada Abhay Charan was their leader. So, as we know, Srila Prabhupada did meet with his divine grace, and Srila Prabhupada put forth the argument that so many nations have achieved political independence, even less civilized nations like China and Japan, but India is still subjugated by foreign rule. So who will take the message of India seriously under the circumstances? But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur replied that conditions such as political independence and dependence are relative, whereas the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is absolute, and it can be received regardless of temporary political situations. So Srila Prabhupada admitted that he had been defeated by his Guru Maharaj, and he said that actually he was happy to have been defeated by him. So at the first meeting, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur instructed Srila Prabhupada to preach the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the English language. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada's translation of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita into English was just a continuation of the same effort to follow the same instructions Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to preach in English. Srila Prabhupada also mentions that he wasn't able to take up the instruction immediately, but he always thought of the instruction and waited for the time that he would be able to execute it. Srila Prabhupada has commented that the instruction of the spiritual master is the pride of the disciple. And again, even if he is not able to execute it immediately, he should always keep it within his heart and wait and pray for the time when he will be able to execute it. In this way, I passed my life as a householder until 1950, when I retired from family life as a vanaprastha. With no companion, I loitered here and there until 1958, when I took sannyas. Then I was completely ready to discharge the order of my spiritual master. Previously, in 1936, just before His Divine Grace passed away at Jagannath Puri, I wrote him a letter asking what I could do to serve him. In reply, he wrote me a letter dated 13th December 1936, ordering me in the same way to preach in English the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as I had heard it from him. So just 2 weeks before Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur passed away, he repeated in writing the same instruction that he had given to Srila Prabhupada earlier, to preach the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in English. course, Srila Prabhupada says that he took Vanaprastha in 1950 and then loitered here and there until he took sannyas in 1958. Of course, Srila Prabhupada was all along trying to execute the order of his spiritual master. He went to Jhansi and found a property where he began the League of Devotees, but because of some political intrigue, he was not able to keep the property. He began Back to Godhead magazine in English, and personally would try to distribute it. Coming back to the League of Devotees, even in the charter of the League of Devotees, which was formed so many years before Srila Prabhupada finally did come to the West, he mentioned that eventually the League of Devotees would have branches throughout the world, and it would inculcate Krishna consciousness to people all over the world. So really we do have Srila Prabhupada attempting to follow his spiritual master's order even then. And then in 1958 Srila Prabhupada took sannyas. Not really for any material reason, of course, not for prestige, certainly, and not even to progress in the different stages of Varnashram, but really to be properly situated to execute the order of his spiritual master. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada writes, then I was completely ready to discharge the order of my spiritual master. After he passed away, I started the fortnightly magazine Back to Godhead sometime in 1944 and tried to spread the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through this magazine. After I took sannyas, a well-wishing friend suggested that I write books instead of magazines. Magazines, he said, might be thrown away, but books remain perpetually. Then I attempted to write Srimad Bhagavatam. Before that, when I was a householder, I had written on Srimad Bhagavad Gita and had completed about 1,100 pages. But somehow or other, the manuscript was stolen. In any case, when I had published Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, in 3 volumes in India, I thought of going to the USA. By the mercy of His Divine Grace, I was able to come to New York on September 17, 1965. Since then, I have translated many books, including Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, a summary, and many others. So Srila Prabhupada took the instruction of his spiritual master to preach the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in English in the Western world in 2 aspects. One, he wanted to publish literature in English, which he began with Back to Godhead in 1944. And he wanted personally to go to the West to preach. But he didn't feel prepared to go to the West until he had some books. And when he had translated and printed the first three volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto, then he felt that he was armed with sufficient ammunition to proceed to the West. So when we receive an instruction from the spiritual master, we should think of all of the implications of the instruction and all of the ways in which we can fulfill it. And of course, as events evolve, we see how Srila Prabhupada thought of newer and newer ways to spread Krishna consciousness. But from the very beginning, he had two ideas. One, to publish literature in English, and two, to go in person to the West. Sometimes we have the tendency, when we receive an instruction, to do it, to do the minimum we can to fulfill it. Like officially we can say, well, I did it. But Srila Prabhupada was thinking the other way, how he can do the most to execute the order. In the meantime, I was induced to translate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and publish it in an elaborate version. In his leisure time in later life, his divine grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, would simply read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It was his favorite book. He used to say that there would be a time when foreigners would learn the Bengali language to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The work on this translation began about 18 months ago. Now, by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his divine grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it is finished. In this connection, I have to thank my American disciples, especially Sriman Pradumya Das Adhikari, Sriman Nitai Das Adhikari, Sriman Jayadwaita Das Brahmachari, and many other boys and girls who are sincerely helping me in writing, editing, and publishing all these literatures. I think that his divine grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, is always seeing my activities and guiding me within my heart by his words. As it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adhikavaye. Spiritual inspiration comes from within the heart, wherein the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his Paramatma feature, is always sitting with all his devotees and associates. So what Srila Prabhupada writes here is very significant. Although his spiritual master passed away on the last day of 1936, but Srila Prabhupada considered him to be present with him within his heart. Many years ago, maybe, well, maybe around 1983, which would have been about 7 years after Srila Prabhupada left. One evening I came into the temple in Mulder's Drift, which is sort of a part of Greater Johannesburg in South Africa. And somehow that evening I perceived the deity of Srila Prabhupada, just like the deity here, to be conscious. Srila Prabhupada was actually there. And even by then, so many things had happened in the movement since Srila Prabhupada had left. There had been many great victories and achievements, and there had also been some setbacks and disappointments. But I felt that Srila Prabhupada was sitting there and he was receiving the news of all the activities in the movement. And he was feeling very deeply satisfaction over the nice service and distress over the difficulties. At the time, I thought of one story that Srila Prabhupada told about the author of a book called Shah Jahan. Shah Jahan was the father of the great Mughal tyrant, Aurangzeb. And Aurangzeb actually imprisoned his own father so that he could assume power, become the emperor. And so the book, Shah Jahan, detailed all the exploits of Aurangzeb. So Srila Prabhupada tells that there was a party in Calcutta where the author of the book was also present. And one of the people at the party asked him that the whole book is about the exploits of Aurangzeb, but still you've kept the title Shah Jahan. You know, why did he keep the title Shah Jahan when Aurangzeb was the hero of the book? And the author replied that although the book is about the activities of Aurangzeb, but his father, Shah Jahan, was sitting in his prison cell and he was getting the news that Aurangzeb is doing this, Aurangzeb is doing that. And that was beating on his heart. So I felt in the same way that although Srila Prabhupada was sitting in one place, that's how I envisioned him because of the deity, but he was getting the news of all the activities of the movement, and it was beating in his heart, and he was the real hero, and he was actually feeling it more than any of us. So from when I joined the temple in Boston, I always I had a very respectful relationship with Sasrupa Maharaj, who was the temple president then. and especially because our service was, you know, to Srila Prabhupada in his physical presence in the early days in Boston. And then later Satsarupa Maharaj wrote Srila Prabhupada's biography, Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. So somehow I thought to write him about my realization about the deity of Srila Prabhupada. And Satsarupa Maharaj wrote back a reply that I was trembling when I read the reply, because I felt that it like cut at the root of my conviction. And what he wrote back was, and maybe I even said something about Prabhupada being in our hearts, but what he wrote back was that, you know, you have written this and that Prabhupada is receiving the news of the movement and his heart is beating, and but as far as we know, you know, when the spiritual master leaves, either he goes to Krishna Loka to join the pastimes of Krishna, or he goes somewhere else in the material world to continue to preach. So, you know, on what basis can we say that Srila Prabhupada is receiving news of the movement and so on? And then he also said that we, you know, that according to scripture, Krishna is in the heart of every living entity. But on what basis can we say that Srila Prabhupada is in our hearts? So, you know, Satsarupa Maharaj's words were really a challenge. And because of my nature of, you know, of wanting to be submissive, or, you know, wanting to be submissive and wanting to, you know, submit to my authorities and please my authorities. So my first impulse was to agree. But actually within my heart I couldn't agree, because I didn't agree. But at the same time, you know, he was asking on what basis I'm making my statements. I couldn't just write back on the basis of my own sentiment. So after the initial shock of the letter, I thought, well, I have to take some time and think about this and do some research into the books and see if there is any evidence to what I wrote. Well, I found some things. I mean, not very explicit, but there were some things. There was one comment in a purport to Srimad Bhagavatam where Srila Prabhupada said that Lord Brahma was able to get messages sort of like by spiritual television. But then later I found this statement, which I'll read again. Spiritual inspiration comes from within the heart, wherein the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in His Paramatma feature, is always sitting with all His devotees and associates. So Srila Prabhupada said that, you know, Krishna is never alone. But then again, you know, there's you know, the absolute truth is realized in three features, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So yes, we know Bhagavan Sri Krishna is never alone. He's always in the company of his associates and servants. But Paramatma, we never really thought of Paramatma having associates. But then again, Srila Prabhupada said that if one is a devotee of Krishna, then he realizes Krishna in the heart, and Krishna is accompanied by his associates. And here, Srila Prabhupada is saying not only is the Paramatma in the heart with his associates, but Srila Prabhupada is saying that the inspiration that he got to write Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, although in one sense we could say it's coming from the Super Soul, but specifically he's saying that the inspiration is coming from his spiritual master who is in his heart with Paramatma. And therefore Srila Prabhupada wrote that, I think that his divine grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, is always seeing my activities and guiding me within my heart by his words. As it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adhikavaye, spiritual inspiration comes from within the heart, wherein the Supreme Personality of Godhead and its Paramatma feature is always sitting with all his devotees and associates. So often Srila Prabhupada writes in such a way that his words can be taken in two ways, both of which are valid. So when we talk about, you know, being guided by the words of the spiritual master within the heart, that also can be taken in two ways. One is that we receive the instruction from the spiritual master through written words or spoken words, and we keep those instructions in our heart. And the other is that the spiritual master, who is sitting in the heart with the Super Soul and other associates of the Lord, is giving fresh instructions or repeating the same instructions from within the heart. And certainly when a devotee is advanced enough, he gets both. Of course, often Srila Prabhupada would say, and it's written in one purport in Bhagavad Gita, that when one has an idea for service, you know, it should be confirmed by the order of the spiritual master without and by the Super Soul within. But here, in his mood of complete surrender and dependence to and on his spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada is giving a more precise explanation that the confirmation, in a general sense, comes from the Paramatma within the heart, but in a specific sense, it comes from the spiritual master within the heart. So any way you look at it, and this is Srila Prabhupada's mood of complete surrender, any way Srila Prabhupada would look at it, he saw that it was all because of the instruction and inspiration of his spiritual master that he was able to write Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He received the order from his spiritual master to preach in English, And then he got the inspiration to fulfill the order to preach in English, specifically by presenting Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then the suggestion is that the actual act of translation, word by word, was inspired by his spiritual master within his heart. And in one wonderful lecture that Srila Prabhupada gave about the mood of the devotee, how the devotee is always feels humble and incapable of achieving any success on his own, and therefore he always prays to his superiors or to his predecessor acharyas to guide him and inspire him. It's funny, the verse that Prabhupada was speaking on was from the first canto, oh, maybe it was even from the Bhagavad Gita, but anyway, it was about the flag of Arjuna, that it was decorated with the image of Hanuman. And Srila Prabhupada explains, like, the inner mood of Arjuna, that Arjuna was feeling himself very humble and incapable of executing the order of Krishna under the circumstances to fight. And therefore, he kept the flag of Hanuman and he prayed to Hanuman that you fought for Lord Ramachandra, so I also have been asked to fight for Lord Krishna, so kindly help me. And Srila Prabhupada said that is the mood of the devotee, that he always prays to the superior authorities and asks them to help him. And then he talks about Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, that he felt that he was incapable of writing Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And therefore, Prabhupada said, at every step, you know, every line, every word, he's praying to Rupa Raghunath. Rupa Raghunath Apare Hare Asha Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna Das. He's praying to Rupa and Raghunath that I'm helpless, please help me. So, I think we can assume that Srila Prabhupada was in the very same mood in relation to the translation of Chaitanya Charitamrita, that he was feeling helpless and praying to his spiritual master, kindly help me. So he writes, it is to be admitted that whatever translation work I have done is through the inspiration of my spiritual master, because personally I am most insignificant and incompetent to do this materially impossible work. I do not think myself a very learned scholar, but I have full faith in the service of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. If there is any credit to my activities of translating, it is all due to His Divine Grace. So, I mean, you know, Srila Prabhupada is so exalted, and the nature of exalted personalities is that they feel themselves to be very insignificant and incompetent. I mean, it's like the higher you actually are, the lower you feel yourself to to be. So anyway, he, and he feels that all the credit to the work he did, that the, you know, we would say to the work he did is due to his spiritual master. Certainly, if his divine grace were physically present at this time, it would have been a great occasion for jubilation. But even though he is not physically present, I'm confident that he is very much pleased by this work of translation. So we serve, but what is the ultimate purpose of the service? The ultimate purpose of the service is to please Krishna, or please the spiritual master. And so the real success is not just that the translation was done, but the real goal of the translation and everything that Srila Prabhupada did, or everything that any devotee does, is to please one spiritual master. And, you know, yasya prasada bhagavat prasada, by pleasing the spiritual master, please Krishna. And he's feeling his spiritual master's pleasure. And that's also part of the living reciprocation between the disciple and spiritual master, even after the spiritual master's departure. And Srila Prabhupada is feeling that his spiritual master is pleased. Certainly, if his divine grace were physically present at this time, it would have been a great occasion for jubilation. But even though he is not physically present, I'm confident that he's very much pleased by this work of translation. He was very fond of seeing many books published to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. Therefore, our society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, has been formed to execute the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So here, continuing on the same theme of following the order of the spiritual master for the pleasure of the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada explains that ISKCON, as an expansion of Srila Prabhupada's desire to serve and please his spiritual master, has been formed to execute the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And again, with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have the general instruction. Amara Gai Guru Hai Tare Desh Yare Deke Tarika Krishna Padesh. That wherever you go, whomever you meet, you repeat the message of Krishna. And Prithibi Teya Cheja Tonagaradi Ram Sarvatra Prachor Hoye Mehimar Na. That in every town and village of the world, Krishna consciousness would be spread. And then the same instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but in a more specific form from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that present the message in English. English is the international language. And publish books. And so the combination is, the result of the combination of preaching in English and publishing books is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in English. And that also fulfills the order and desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yaridaki Tarika Krishna Upadesh. It is my wish that devotees of Lord Chaitanya all over the world enjoy this translation. Like Prabhupada said, it's not enough that we distribute his books, we should also read them. So, yes, he wrote the books to please his spiritual master, but he also wrote the books for us. Prabhupada said he wrote his books for his sincere followers, for everyone, but especially for his sincere disciples. And therefore, part of our reciprocation with Srila Prabhupada for his effort in translating the books is to read the books and distribute the knowledge also. It is my wish that devotees of Lord Chaitanya all over the world enjoy this translation. And I'm glad to express my gratitude to the learned men in the Western countries who are so pleased with my books, with my work, that they are ordering in advance all my books that will be published in the future. On this occasion, therefore, I request my disciples who are determined to help me in this work to continue their cooperation fully, so that philosophers, scholars, religionists, and people in general all over the world will benefit by reading our transcendental literatures, such as Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So again, as Prabhupada often said, the same instruction is coming through parampara, from Lord Chaitanya through disciplic succession to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta to Srila Prabhupada, and then from Srila Prabhupada to all of us. And our duty, it's very interesting the way Srila Prabhupada has written, I request my disciples who are determined to help me in this work to continue their cooperation fully, so that people all over the world will benefit by reading our transcendental literatures, such as Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this is the goal, that people should benefit, para upakar. Not just that they get the book. Of course, Prabhupada said they benefit even if they touch it. But really what Prabhupada is asking us to do is to distribute the books, but in the same mood, not just doing the minimum, but doing the maximum. We want them to get the books, and we want them to read the books, we want them to understand the books, we want them to follow the instructions in the books and get the full benefit of the book. And therefore, we have so much to do to inspire people to read the books and to continue to read them and to try to follow them. And therefore, everything we do, maintaining the temple, inviting people to the programs, having good classes in the temple, and even the deity worship, the different methods that just purify the heart, even the distribution of prasad, they all should help people to get the benefit of the books, and that is what Srila Prabhupada is asking of us on this auspicious occasion when he completed his translation. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, dated November 10, 1974, at the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, Hare Krishna Land, Juhu, Bombay. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Yes?
I also like to comment on the topic of merchant.
Yes.
If I knew someone who told me that even before she met the devotee, she had a dream about Srila Prabhupada working. She knew nothing about the movement. And just a couple, in the dream, he said to her that she should associate with devotees and she would meet them on Thursday. And she had no idea when or where that would take place. And she went to Hawaii. And there she met devotees at a feast. It was Thanksgiving. And it was a perfect Thanksgiving. And so she had so much faith in Prabhupada at that point. And she surrendered right then and there, and always was a devotee. Another incident I thought was interesting concerning her, because she said that when she was living away from Hawaii for some time, she had a dream about staying working in Hawaii temple. And she was paying a vacancy fee in the temple, and she saw a pile of refuse right in front of the deity. She thought, oh, this is nice, I better go clean it up. She went out into the hallway and saw the broom and the little sweet thing, and went back to clean it up, and this a few months later passed, and she forgot about the dream. But she actually ended up in Hawaii. First thing she did is go into the temple, pay her vacancy to Prabhupada, and there's the same pile of refuse, the same. And she goes down the hallway, same spot as the room, and then she had that memory of the. And I thought that was really interesting how Prabhupada is always, he's really there.
That's true. Yeah.
Reciprocates it. And I also have a question regarding, you're talking about Bhani and Bhakti. So how would you advise someone from spiritual life to fell away from them?
Well, the question is in relation to Bhani and Bhakti, and what advice would I give to someone whose spiritual master has fallen away from the movement? Well, the scriptures have given recommendations, and the recommendation is to continue the same process of devotional service that the spiritual master taught when he was properly situated. To pray for the spiritual master to come back, and to, keep in the association of devotees or take shelter of more advanced devotees that can help one to progress in the same path. In other words, to take guidance from Shiksha Gurus. And that's the instruction.
Shiva Bhakta talked about the two gurus, but there's the Chichi Guru and the Guru outside. And internally, the Chichi Guru is giving guidance, instruction, etc. And outwardly, the Guru manifests, the Lord manifests, the Chichi Guru manifests as a spiritual master.
Mm-hmm.
And actually gives instructions outwardly so that we get pretty much an all-around training and instruction.
Mm-hmm.
That way, we're able to make advancement. So in that sense, would we say that the Chaiti Guru and the external Guru are non-different? And hence, when the spiritual master may physically depart, he is there as Chaiti Guru, because he is the same as the Chaiti Guru. Can one make that kind of correlation?
The question is that the Lord helps the devotee from within as the Chaitanya Guru, and from without as the spiritual master. So can we say that the two are the same? Well, we can. But at the same time, because our philosophy is Achintya-Veda Vedtattva, there is some difference. Now, if we take Chaitanya Guru to be Paramatma, which is the general explanation, he will help us to follow the instructions that we've received from manifest form of the spiritual master. But if one is very advanced, and you know, like Srila Prabhupada, if one is actually in touch with the Lord in the heart and the spiritual master who sits with the Lord in the heart, you know, one can get further instruction. But generally, if we just take the spiritual master and the Lord in the heart, generally, we'd say that the spiritual master is more merciful. Because the Paramatma, in a general sense, the Paramatma will fulfill the desires of the living entity, whatever the desires are. So, you know, Mata Smriti Gyanam Apohanam Cha. If the living entity wants to remember Krishna and forget Maya, the Paramatma will help him. But if someone wants to forget Krishna and enjoy Maya, Paramatma will help him too, because the Paramatma is neutral. Whereas the super soul, the spiritual master, he'll only help the disciple become Krishna conscious. No, he won't help the disciple, in ways that are opposed to Krishna consciousness. But as long as the disciple maintains the connection with the spiritual master, the Paramatma will help him and help the spiritual master to help the disciple to become Krishna conscious.
How it differentiates, like the intuitions that the body receives from the heart. If the spiritual master is present, you can buy it by, and then, he speaks, then you can move to work. But sometimes, maybe your mind is saying, and how do you in the differentiation that this is, the spiritual master in the heart is speaking to you, or
good question. How do we know if some dictation is really coming from the spiritual master within the heart, or whether it's coming from our own minds, or from Maya? Well, here we have the system, Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya, Chitete Koryaikya. There's Sadhu, Shastra, and Guru. And all three will say the same thing. Frankly speaking, since Prabhupada left, there have been devotees who have concocted philosophies and theories which they claim are derived from Srila Prabhupada's instructions. But when we look, we see that they're not confirmed by Shastra. And Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya, Shastra is the central point. So, they may sincerely believe that Srila Prabhupada wants what they're saying. But if what they're saying is not supported by Sadhu and Shastra, then we have to think that maybe it's not really coming from Guru, because there's not going to be disharmony between Guru and Sadhu and Shastra. And Sadhu means our assembly of sincere devotees who follow strictly, and it also means sadhus from generations in the past. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami. So we have that way of checking. with sadhu and shastra. And one instruction Srila Prabhupada gave also that will give us a sense of where we fit in devotional service or in spiritual progress. Srila Prabhupada said that there are three types of devotees. The first class, he knows what the spiritual master wants, even if the spiritual master doesn't tell him. That's first class. Second class, he receives an instruction from the spiritual master and he executes it perfectly. And the third class, you know, receives an instruction from the spiritual master and he argues, or he forgets. So, you know, we have to be careful about imitating. In other words, in general, we should try to be in the second class, that we receive the instruction and execute it perfectly. And it's only after the stage of, you know, perfectly executing the explicit instructions that one will come to the stage of knowing, you know, within oneself what the spiritual master would want, even without the instruction of the spiritual master. And then, again, we have the same thing, sadhu, shastra, and guru. Of course, guru now is the point of question, so then we have sadhus confirming with others, and then we have shastra. But it's true, the mind can be very tricky. Mind can be very tricky. And, sometimes we can't distinguish so easily. Chaitanya Charitamrita also says that the weeds that can grow up alongside the devotional creeper can resemble the creeper so closely that it's hard to distinguish between the weeds and the creeper. So you need like an expert gardener or a team of expert gardeners who can help distinguish between the weeds and the creeper. All right, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Sri Rama Ekadasi ki jai. Dvitai Gaur Premanande.
Sri Dvitai Maharaj ki jai.